Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle, as every single day this week continues to bring more and more really big news out of the National Football League. Obviously, yesterday afternoon was the Ravens and John Harbaugh parting ways, or John Harbaugh getting fired, however you want to put it. After 18 years, he's now available, and there's one more coaching vacancy as well, including the Falcons, which was made known on Sunday afternoon. Joining us now, as he always does on Wednesdays, is Dave Archer from the Falcons Radio Network, presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Arch, how are you?
Andy, doing good, man. Appreciate it. It's always been fun to come on with you guys all year long, you and Randy. You guys have been fun to talk to, and sad it's coming to an end for this year, but hopefully I get a chance to do it with you guys again next season.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, as much fun as it's been, we've had some good football to talk about. Unfortunately, we haven't had a playoff appearance to talk about since we've been doing this show.
Yeah.
What was your reaction on Sunday night when all the news came out?
Yeah, I think that I was probably in the camp of the many that felt like that there was probably something going to happen. I was probably a little bit caught, not completely surprised, a little bit caught off guard with the four-game win streak to finish the season. You beat two of those teams were quality. If you want to call Tampa a quality team, they were in the mix to try to be in the playoffs, and then the Rams. And obviously you did it not in dramatic fashion, or dominating fashion, but you certainly showed some fight, some moxie to you a little bit, and found a way to win four straight games. So that made it, I guess, a tad of a surprise. I think I maybe was more surprised with the Terry Fontenot thing, maybe a little bit more. And I know that we haven't had a winning season in his 5 years here, and he's had two coaches. Man, this roster's littered with guys he went and got in the draft and free agency that are really good players. I know that the quarterback thing probably hangs over his head a little bit in how that has all transpired. But I guess all in all, a little surprised, I guess, would probably be the category I'd put it in.
Tell me this, because that was going to be my next question about the surprise. But tell me, I wanted to know your biggest surprise on the field itself of the whole season.
Biggest surprise from a place?
Yes, on the field. Yes, just on the field. Not necessarily who was fired, who was let go. Just the play on the field. What was your biggest surprise this year?
I think the biggest surprise, I'd like to stay positive,
right,
but the biggest surprise for me is more on the negative side, is that we didn't play more consistently on the offensive side of the ball, that there was more of a kind of dictating to the opposition. You know what I mean, Randy?
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like this was an offense that was going to come in and be able to run it and throw it and really kind of dictate the terms. Not to the level that we saw in 16 with Ryan and that group of guys that could go make plays, but was just disappointed. And there's a lot of dysfunctional pieces to it, right? The Drake London was as advertised. Kyle Pitts had his moments, but there was that third and fourth receiver just did not come to fruition for us. And obviously Bijan was a monster. We expected that, and we expected Tyler to do his contribution, the offensive line. But the third and fourth receiver, or second and third receiver, and just their inability to do anything, that position, you guys remember, that position was, 1,700 yards receiving last year combined?
Right.
Some 10 or 11 touchdowns combined, or 10 touchdowns somewhere in the neighborhood. And you just didn't get any of that. And so that was just a piece of it. But I guess that was probably the biggest surprise, was the dysfunction offensively and just the inability to be consistent.
Here's an easy way to make it positive is, what do you think either the Falcons are going to be selling candidates on, or if you're a candidate and you're looking at this, what are some of the things that stand out to you as, all right, if I go there, I've got this?
Well, first of all, most offensive coaches, Andy, want to be able to run the football. And I think that, save this last weekend, which almost feels like an anomaly now, just the way the Saints were able to shut the run game down. And there's some number of reasons for that. I'm sure you guys watched some of the tape and stuff. But I think the ability to run the football, you've got a guy that's dynamic coming back, arguably one of the two or three we feel like is the best running back in the National Football League, but certainly one of the two or three best coming back. I think you love that as an offensive coach. that you're looking at from a just from an offensive standpoint. Defensively, you got to love the young talent and stuff that's coming back, and the fact that you were able to get after the passer and take the ball away and some of those kind of things. But on the offensive side of the football, that would be the thing I would be selling was, hey, one of the entities you have to be able to do if you want to be a good offense is be able to run the football.
What did you think of when you heard the fact that, you know, there's new leadership as far as Matt Ryan, maybe, I know it's nothing is official, but the possibility of him coming in and being the president of the organization?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this maybe a little bit off air and stuff like that, and maybe a little bit on you guys' show. I kind of felt that there was an inkling somewhere back in November that there was some conversation about a football-oriented guy coming in and right. maybe doing a scour of what was going on. I think we talked a little bit about that. And to say that it's Matt Ryan, if it is, in fact, Matt going to be the guy, you're looking for a guy that knows what it looks like, you know, and what it smells like and what the building's supposed to be at. And Randy, you know this as well as anybody does. There's entities that the fan never knows about. You know, what's going on in the locker room? What's being said in the hallways? What are you doing in the breakdown meeting rooms? What are you doing when the offense gets together? You know, how are we maximizing what we do in walkthroughs when before we get to practice? And then how do we manifest that into what practice is supposed to look like so it's a worthwhile practice, so you're not just out there, you know, running around with your helmet on, you know? And so that he knows what all that's supposed to look like. I mean, he was on arguably the best team this franchise has ever had.
Right. Yeah.
Certainly one of the two or three best it's ever had. He knows what it looks like, what it smells like, what you're supposed to be doing to get yourself prepared to be that way. And so I know that Mr. Blank trusts him implicitly. I had a chance to visit with him for 13 years of his career mm-hmm. and watched him grow as a player and as a teammate. He came in as one of the great teammates, and I think that's another piece to it. I mean, all you got to do is throw on that. And I think it was circulating a little bit here. I saw it on Twitter that somebody found it and reposted he came in, he was asked by Raheem to come in and talk to the team mm-hmm. and what it meant to be a Falcon. And I mean, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you could find it on YouTube or something like that. I know you guys have probably seen it. You guys have seen it, but mm-hmm. maybe if the fan hasn't seen it, go find that. It's very telling as to the passion he has for the city, the passion he has for this team, Mr. Blank, all that stuff. I think all that's going to play in if in fact Matt's the guy.
I know part of it is that it's just kind of unknown with Penix's injury and how quickly he can come back and all that. I know Cousins restructured yesterday, but that seems to indicate they're probably going to cut him from that contract anyway, and what happened yesterday probably makes that even more likely. But how do you view the Falcons' quarterback situation going into next year, and maybe what do they need to do to kind of shore that up with Penix unsure of being able to play week one?
Yeah, Andy, that's going to be the $64,000 question. You know, come up with a good answer there, a stable answer, one that you can lean into. The recovery of Mike Penix is going to be, you know, kind of up in the air right now. You don't know. We're only what, a month into his recovery mm-hmm. or something along those lines. I do know he's been around the building, been back here in Atlanta and trying to be a part of things, but you don't know how that's going to go. So the Cousins stuff is interesting. It could position you to, as you guys suggested, maybe it allows you to be able to walk away, and the number can be skewed over 2 years, the $32 million or whatever it is you'll potentially owe him over 2 years if you cut him after June 1. They can spread that out over two. Or does it mean that he is amenable, and it sounds like amenable to coming back and potentially being that guy that starts for you to start the season? I know that some people are cringing at that. Some people may be pumping their fists and saying, yeah, you know, I don't know. But I do know that he did some pretty good things when he came in for Penix. And we were able to win some games with him. I think, what was he, 5-3 as a starter mm-hmm. this year? Yep. Something along those lines. So, yeah, there's a couple blips on the radar for him, but I do think he did some pretty good stuff. And if you know, you put another receiver around him that can make some plays, who knows? But,
Dave,
I don't know. It's hard to tell there, guys, as far as what's going to be the stopgap between Penix getting healthy and who's available.
Right. Dave, as this new search goes on for head coach, I mean, Andy, all our shows keep getting asked the same thing, and I say the same thing. When the people say, who do you want to be the coach? I say a good one. What about I don't say preference, Dave, but what are you looking at when as far as, you know, these coaches that are out there as a possibility to be the Falcons' next head coach?
Yeah, I just want a guy that's going to be able to come in and work with the quarterback. I think that most of these teams, and I guess you could probably save the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young's been really good some. He hasn't been very good some. So is Dave Canales, you know, has he got him going in the right direction? I think he has him going in the right direction to a certain extent in Carolina. Other than the other 13 teams, I think you feel pretty good about the quarterback position. And really that's what it takes. In this league, you obviously have to have the auxiliary pieces that can go make plays and do stuff both for you on offense and defense, but you got to have the quarterback right. And
right.
And so for someone that could come in and work with the QB and get him dialed in where he feels comfortable, and it's got to be a two-way street. Randy, I don't know how much, you know, obviously you're around Rivers. You're around some really good players at that position. I've never been in a place where the quarterback isn't a contributor to what you're doing. I'm not talking about sitting in on Monday and Tuesday right. to put the game plan together, but you're certainly sitting there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday saying, I like this, scratch this, I don't want that, let's do this. I mean, there's a contributing factor there that has to be because as a quarterback, you've got to feel comfortable in the game. When something comes in, you like it. You're good with it, you know, and I'm not saying that wasn't happening. It just feels like there was some dysfunction when it comes to that blend of the quarterback and the guy calling the plays. I'd like to see that. That's the number one thing. So that leading to a coach that's willing to do that, a guy that's comfortable in his own skin, that's not saying, hey, it's my way or the highway, because it can't be that way. You've got to be able to have some ebb and flow to you and be able to blend what you know and what you can do with what your players can do. And so that would be number one in my mind.
Arch, we appreciate it as always and all season. Thank you.
Appreciate you, my brother.
Guys, it's always been great to be with you guys. Y'all take care, okay?
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network analyst. All throughout the football season, he joins us on Wednesdays. And obviously, as you can tell, kind of final wrap-up conversation there. And obviously, we'll talk to him throughout the offseason, as we always do, and get things going back up on Wednesdays next training camp and through the season as well. And maybe next year.
Maybe.
It'll be the first time we get to talk playoff football with Dave Archer.
Maybe, man. Maybe. I mean, you know, there's still a process.
Still haven't been over 500 since we've been doing a show.
I just like what he was saying as far as, I mean, I won't say it doesn't matter because everything matters. But you got to get that guy. You got to have him. To give yourself and your organization and your fan base and your city a chance, you've got to get that position right. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the head coach who's an offensive guy or it's a defensive guy who gets the right guy in here to coach his quarterback and run his offense, it has to be fixed. And it's got to be fixed now. I'm not saying that he got to go put him on a trajectory of the Hall of Fame after 1 year, but whoever the quarterback has to be, like Dave said, a factor in it. I know we didn't win an old Super Bowl or nothing, but I've seen how it's been done. I know how it's done. Just like Matt Ryan, he was talking about Matt Ryan. I watched Philip work. I know what it takes to have a good quarterback that results more in winning than he does lose. He's going to lose some games, going to throw some damn picks.
Sure.
But more than anything, he's going to win you games. And they need that here in Atlanta. And they have not had it since the guy they're making the president.
No, they haven't. They haven't.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Had they, he might not be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they had won enough games, they wouldn't have to have all this turnover and try to restart things over and over again. I hope Penix is that guy. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, who knows if he'll even play week one? Hopefully he does.
I think he will. Each Wednesday night, that is tonight, join our main man, Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles, low price, low love, the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation tonight. Well, my man, Day-Day.
Somehow there's 9 teams interested in John Harbaugh and only 6 jobs available.
Yeah. Watch yourself.
Who's getting fired to make room for John Harbaugh?
Watch yourself.
We'll get to an NFL No Huddle coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.